I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die.
Hey, how is everyone? Today I bring you episode 51 of Sean Hammer. Today we're going to go over some Imperial Guard, my views about them, what I feel about what people call this freaking leaf blower list, and people's angst and hatred towards the iGuard, the poor little worshippers of man that they are. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and get into first what I've been up to. Well, as the last couple weeks, at least the last couple shows, you know that I've been doing a lot of playing Hero Clicks. Right now I'm totally sweating my balls off. It's 95 degrees and it's very late here in Michigan, and somehow it's holding the weather up to close to the hundreds with the humidity. So if you hear the noise in the background, that happens to be the AC, because I'm sitting right in front of it because it sucks here. Let's see, what else? I've been assembling some Malifaux, working on getting some stuff put together and painted. As you know from the last episode, I got my stuff back from the Painting Apothecary, my Karaya crew for the Resurrectionist, and they look fantastic. After that, I got me some Gaki, some extra little dragon things. I am not going to butcher the name right now. We'll just leave it as that. And I got the Lost Love. Also, I picked up the rest of the stuff for the Colette crew that I needed. And that was basically just the Corphy and the Mechanical Doves is all I needed. I got a couple decks of the Puppet deck, and I'll be giving one away. Probably it'll be a contest next episode, because I'll get to that in a moment. And I got Lilu and Lilitu and some Young Nephilim. Got them all assembled, primed, ready to go. I picked up Lilith's box set by accident, actually. And, well, it was, you know, it was by, well, not by accident, not like the Karaya. I had, had Jeff from Cool City Games go ahead and order it up, thinking that a friend of mine was going to play it, and he was, you know, he was just letting it sit for a while, and then I kept looking at this box set over and over, and I was like, you know what, this box set looks really friggin' badass. Started looking through the rule book, and it's like, you know, Lilith, man, she's a beat stick. You know, the only thing you could get up on a master, I think, in my personal opinion, that's that melee heavy is Lady Justice. So I was like, screw it. I'm gonna go pick this up. That's what I'm gonna do. And I started playing, putting it together, painting it, reading the rules, and I was like, holy shit, there's not enough models in here to actually do a crew to my liking. So, I mean, well, we'll get over it. We'll get to that. But anyway, I picked that up. I also picked up the new Nakima model. Freaking fantastic. Really fragile. Kind of expensive, but love it to pieces. So let's see. That's why I did a Malifaux. I glued together just recently my Sanguinary Guard for 40K. I'm not running a Blood Angel army, but I did want the models. I picked up that in the Sanguinar. I don't know if anything's going to drive off of that in a while. A couple episodes, issues, I should say, of White Dwarf had a really, really, really cool article about how to paint non-metallic metallics using gold, using Sanguinar. So I picked up all my paints, and if I ever feel like picking up a brush, I'll go ahead and check that out. So I want to try it out on the Sanguinary Guard, too, because I do wish to use these five guys for kill zones. Big Jim's, you know, standalone little 40K game seems to be promising, so I'm going to go with that. I did paint a few Ninja Ogre Man-Eaters for Fantasy. Let's see, for Fantasy, that was it that I've done. there's a little bit more, we'll get to that in a moment. Malifaux, I did that, getting my crews all put together and painted. 40K, got my Sanguinary Guard. I start going through models to see what I want to do. Oh, putting together more Grey Knights. I almost got my Grey Knight army done. And it's, unfortunately, when I say Grey Knight, it's like plastic gray. That's what that's what this army's going to look like for a bit. But I'm trying to do the whole get the most for my points out of the Grey Knight army without going too heavy in some of the bigger beady things. I don't think I'm going to worry about a Land Raider or nothing. And I've been doing a little bit for the Eye Guard. Unfortunately, for a lot of you, you're gonna hate hearing this because you think it's cheap and stuff. But I've putting together my getting two Valkyries for Father's Day, and I'm putting one together. I'm get to my army list idea in a moment, and I'll explain why. So let's see, HeroClix, been playing that. Check, got the new Green Lantern set. Malifaux, got those put together, working on Czech Fantasy, got the Ogre's Banded, Czech 40K, Sanguinary Guard, and my Grey Knights. And for anybody out there who's got some Space Marine bits, I am in the need of some shoulder pads. Specifically ones with like the chapter symbols on them, you know, the embossed symbols. Any type of legs or chest that might have the same icons on it, you know, like maybe the Blood Angels having the blood drops and stuff. I thought I'd have some extra pieces in my Sanguinary Guard, but negative. I have a unit of Deathwatch Kill Team that I wanted to put together. That I have together that I used back in the day, and I wanted to put them together for kill zones. But actually picking up Deathwatch, the role playing game, and everything, and seeing some of the art and everything, I realized I can go a lot more individualistic. See, I screw up. I'm human. I can go ahead and use Space Wolf parts for Space Wolf. Just paint it black. Blood Angels for the Blood Angels. Paint it black. So any bits you have that you want to send to me, just come send me an email. Say, hey, Sean, I got this shit for you. You want it? I'll say yes. You want anything back for it? If not, here's my address. I love you. And that's it. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, especially a new one that I find freaking hilarious. I used to listen to 40K Basement. Used to love 40K Basement. Don't know what happened to it. I think I heard Parker on another thing pop out on a different show or so. 40K Basement used to love. So I started listening to this other one that's on the Hobby Talk Network, Life After the Cover Save. Took me an episode or so to get used to it, but these guys are freaking hilarious. You're on the 40K podcast, it's gonna get you laughing. It's got some stuff in it, you shouldn't let your kids listen to it, blah blah blah, all that crap, I said that. All that legality stuff. But it's fucking hilarious. I mean, give it a listen to it. You don't like it, but if you end up liking it, you'll download all their back episodes. Try listen to them from the beginning on up. Most recent, you can see the development of some of their armies and what they're playing and their thoughts and everything. And it's kind of cool because you can look, you can pretend that, I don't know. You can just listen to it and say, haha, I know where this is going. But anyway, I've been listening to a lot of Life After the Cover Savings. Great podcast. I highly recommend it. And that is it. That's what I've been doing for gaming. Still haven't touched War Machine. Still haven't touched Hordes. Probably not going to unless someone wants to give me something, because, damn it, I can't afford all these hobbies. So let's go ahead and gaming news lately. I'm not going to go over it too much because there's a lot of different. I mean, if you don't know about it and you're listening to me, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you listen to my show. But I'm assuming you're up in the news of gaming world and everything, you know about this, the new Games Workshop price hike. Yes, they are raising their prices yet again. I mean, this hobby's getting freaking expensive. I'm not going to go off about it. It is what it is. But they're doing some pretty... And they're pulling their shenanigans to the people in New Zealand and Australia and stuff, making it really difficult for these people to buy models and charging them up the wazoo and stuff. And, you know, there's a Facebook petition out there. I think if you Google petition, I mean, if you search petition 40K Australia or something, you'll get it. You can join this petition to say they introduced a trade embargo on New Zealand and Australia, saying that they can't get their models anywhere else in the world. They got to get them from their distributors there, and their prices are all high, and blah, blah, blah. Check it out. You know, a lot of the other podcasts cover it. Matter of fact, Gamers Lounge covered it pretty good, and I liked hearing it, and the guys from Podhammer, they talked about it a little bit. Another two great shows you can listen to. And, let's see, in news, let's see. We got the new Battle Magic thing coming up. I'm going to Games Day. I'm taking my wife and friend of mine, Becker, with me to Games Day, so that'd be cool. That'd be cool, cool, cool. And that is it for my life on the last couple of weeks. Working on stuff, not accomplishing anything, sweat my balls off, and listen to podcasts. So that's me. So let's see, I've been babbling for about 11 minutes now. Let's go ahead and let's get into iGuard, my history of the iGuard. I didn't used to play iGuard. Matter of fact, I used to play... I know I'm jumping to fantasy, so bear with me here. Used to play Dark Elf, Dark Elves in Fantasy 5th Edition. I did really well. One of my had a lot of good luck. Like the model, like I painted them nice blacks and purples and stuff. And, you know, I had them and I had Undead Army. And I played in this like campaign thing they had at the hobby store around my area. And this kid came up to me one day. He's just like, "Oh, you know what? You know, this fantasy looks really cool." So I let him play a couple times, you know, and I let him play with the Dark Eldar. Did I say Dark Eldar? Really? Dark Elf. Everyone hear that? Right? I fucked up, I think. But anyway, Dark Elf army. And he's just like, "Well, these guys really freaking rule, man. You know, you want to do a trade?" And he's just like, "I got all these space wolves." And I was just like, "What? Space wolves? What are space wolves?" And he's just like, "It's for 40K. And I was just like, "Oh, is that like Necromunda?" He's just like, "Well, kind of, I guess, you know, because I used to play Necromunda." So he offered this trade to trade all these space wolves for all of my Dark Elf. And I was like, "Fuck it. Let's do it." He was a good kid. His dad was down, lost his job. I had an older dad and stuff. So I traded. Hopefully he still has these Dark Elf models, and I haven't seen him around in quite some time. But I picked up these Space Wolves. I was loving it, you know. I was like, "Oh, fuck it, hey, you know, 40K is pretty cool. You know, it's a little bit different than playing fantasy, and a lot of the logistics of the games at the time were the same. Except combat was really freaking messed up in 2nd Edition Warhammer, let me just tell you that. So I gave it a whirl. 3rd edition came out of Warhammer 40K. Then the new Space Wolf Codex came out. That was like a little micro codex to go along with a Space Marine Codex. And yeah, I was playing Space Wolves. And I loved it, you know. It's just like, for one, I freaking love Vikings. I love the whole Norse theme, mythology, everything you can think of. I mean, you listen to my first episode, Sean Hammer, I talk about doing Chaos Army and that Warriors of Chaos. But anyway, I was doing really good with these guys, and, you know, I just enjoyed it. You know, the color scheme is great. I like yellow. Yeah, I went with the Ragnar Black Mane shoulder pads. Matter of fact, painted my wife's toes in Space Wolves. I put those on a site so you could check them out. That's what I call loves. But anyway, I was playing these guys, and with every game you play, it doesn't matter. And I'm guilty of this, too. You know, I'm freaking guilty of this. I'm on blood pressure medicine now because I used to be really guilty. Things will happen in a game that just don't make freaking sense. They might to you if it's your codex or your rules. You can make sense out of it because you know the fluff, you know the background. It's in your codex and it says you could do this. But other people are just come out and say, "Oh, that's fucking bullshit, you know, get all mad, throwing shit. I fucking quit, take your cheesy army." That is it right there. That cheesy army. So, Space Wolves became Cheese Wolves around the area. And people gave me shit all the time about playing Space Wolves. And they're like, oh, it's the most cheapest army out there. Why don't you go ahead and pick something that can lose? Why don't you, you know, why don't you play something that can use, like, Imperial Guard or something? You know, if you think you're so good. So I was like, fuck it. You know, I was just like, I had a White Dwarf just recently. They had the, Death Corps or Krieg army idea. It was that they put in a chapter approved for the like, but we're talking like 90, I know, quite some time ago. So, in that same, White Dwarf, you know, and you know, there's a time when you could have the Gaunt Ghosts, and I just started reading those. And I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'll go ahead, I'll play Imperial Guard, and I'm gonna have fun. You know, forget you guys. So I got together with one of the sons from the hobby store, Jeff, who owns Cool City Games. He went ahead and did me a trade, my Space Wolves, which were, you know, painted nicely. I mean, I even had my Land Raider with the giant wolf heads painted on the sides. Like, for all that you remember when the new Land Raider came out, it had in that poster. I mean, it looked just like that. So I traded everything for some Imperial Guard, unpainted. You know, I just massive. I went massive troops. I went through the Codex, and I was like, well, this is going to go into troops. I don't want to deal with a lot of tanks. I'll get my support battery pieces, such as my mortar, Griffin, my Griffin mortar, and my Basculus, because, freaking, why not? I'm running an army that essentially, instead of being the darker colors, I'm going to paint gray with skull gas masks with red armbands with white circles of black lightning bolts on the inside. Kind of looking like Nazis, so I figured the Basculus reminded me of the old 88s, you know, in history. So I put together this Imperial Guard army. Now, I wasn't going to reveal it until this tournament that we did a Rogue Trader and everything, and I wasn't doing shit. I really wasn't. Well, at the time, we had one weekend before the tournament. Well, actually, it wasn't even one weekend. I think it was a Thursday or Wednesday, and the tournament was a Saturday. I got ill. I got a really bad sinus infection, along with some other things. So they ended up prescribing me, like, different pain meds, different allergy relief, and antibiotics. Well, the combined efforts of all these foreign entities inside my body just gave me super concentration and energy. I did not eat or sleep for 3 days. I stayed in my basement. At the time, which had my game table, some lights and stuff, painted up a complete 1,500-point Imperial Guard Death Troopers of Krieg army. Now, looking back at it, the bases could use some work. I did this Scorched Brown and with just the Static Grass. I wish I would have done more. But the models themselves are freaking fantastic. Painted up the Chimeras, I got, I think I had 2-3 Chimeras in the army. I had one for my my veterans, which I painted up like Stormtroopers. I'm talking not like Star Wars Stormtroopers, but you know, like Hitler Nazi Stormtroopers. I painted up a unit in green coats with red skulls on their masks. I called the Red Skulls because I think the Red Skulls are the coolest Captain America villain freaking ever. And then I had a general Chimera that went to everything else. I ran Solar Mercurius as my HQ troop choice. And not as the rules, but as the figures. And a buddy of mine, Tim, made it like a flying dais, so it kind of reminds you of M. Bison off of Street Fighter, the movie. And I put together a pretty sweet Imperial Guard army. I started playing it, and unfortunately for everyone else, it just freaking clicked. You know, it's just like, I got this foot-slogging army. I'm taking advantage of cover, because why the hell they give you armor playing Imperial Guard, I have no idea, because everyone's AP values just shoot right through your armor. I mean, sometimes it's probably just best to go ahead and say, hey, take my armor and make my guys 2 points cheaper. So, I got this massive foot-slogging army. And I did well with it. I won, I think, at the Rogue Trader, 1/3 by one best painted. And like I said, those meds really friggin', I don't know. I was thought about it a couple times, taking them again, see if I can get that type of effect again. But that being said, I won and everything, and my army started expanding a little bit. During that time, I picked up some Grey Knight Termies. They're freaking beautiful models, the old metal Terminators, not the really old ones, but the ones they just did before these new ones. had those in my armies, because I had to have something that could handle myself, you know. You know, you get shit dropping in, you gotta have something. And these were inside the White Dwarfs as well. This wasn't inside the Demon Hunter Codex or nothing. Picked up a couple tanks here and there, got myself armor cast, Baneblade, painted it up, got a couple extra Lehman Russes, one Demolisher, with the Demolished Battle Cannon, one with the, you know, with the plasma things, and I ran with it. I've been running with it since. During that time, I decided I had a whole little division where my tanks went from, instead of being gray, a lot of my field tanks went to the camouflage pattern. So, I mean, so to speak, I was making my Imperial Guard army, color-wise and looks, historically accurate to, you know, the Nazi army of 1942-43 and all that, with its panzer divisions and everything. So my army did take a turn to go to all mech. Well, problem is, with all mech, back in the day of 3rd and 4th, you just didn't have it. I mean, it just, you could try. The best thing you could do is my Death Troopers of Krieg army really went from the Death Troopers of Krieg rules. During that time, I picked up a whole bunch of Gaunt's Ghost models, and that was my thing. I was going to make up a small combat patrol of Gaunt's Ghost, but in between 3rd edition Warhammer 40k and 4th, they went ahead and changed it, took out the Gaunt's Ghost out of my codex, gave me Gaunt, and that's it. Freaking pissed off Games Workshop. Why the hell you take a good thing and screw with it? But here I am. I can make do with Imperial Guard. Did well with it. I did well. And, you know, you got your good times, you got your bad. You know, you're not going to hold up against power armor and stuff. So I went with the Steel Legion just so I can run troops inside of the Chimeras and run my tanks so I can have all mech army. Oh, another thing, too. I freaking love Sentinels. I never went through with it, but I wanted to have, like, large amount units of Sentinels, you know. But anyway, so I did the tank division. All during this time, the foot slogging, the tank division, Warhammer 40k, for the Imperial Guard armies were not that devastating, and they weren't that strong. You had to be a devout player to play the Warhammer, you play Imperial Guard and Warhammer. Then something magical came along. Now, when I say magical, it's very frustrating as well. 5th edition Warhammer came out. In 5th edition, during that time, we started seeing things called squadrons. Now, it took me a while to grasp this. I thought, you know, things like the Valkyries and everything, it was just like, I thought they were this, you know, this horrible beast of an idea to have in the Warhammer world, you know, 40k world. And I was just like, you know, that's, you know, have flying units, how can you deal with them? Well, after you get past the fact that they're just skimmers. They're just fast skimmers. And that they're nothing more than a tank. The only thing that they can do is move flat out. They did give them rules where they can drop units and they can assault, so that's good too. They also gave up with the idea that you can scout with these and deep strike with these aerial ships and stuff. So I thought to myself, you know, it's just like, well, shit, how in the hell do people deal with this? Then, you know, I just got to realizing, it's just, you can deal with them. They're only armored 12 all the way around. They're not like a lot of things that the game's developed into. I mean, you have friggin', you know, Storm Ravens, crap like that that's going to come through with their ceremony armor and everything and negate using melta weapons against them. So I started seeing throughout the codexes these flyers. I mean, Dark Eldar especially. You got these damn Void Raven and Starscream things. I did the codex review and I still suck at it. And speaking of Dark Eldar, if you want a chance to go ahead and win yourself a Dark Eldar codex that I'm no longer using, because I dropped the idea about doing Dark Eldar, and if you're thinking about it, you want a codex that's pretty much brand new, I'll throw that in as my codex giveaway, and, you know, all you gotta do is, probably before episode 53 is what I'll put it into it, go ahead and send me an email, about how I could better show or what you'd like to hear, leave me an iTunes review, and if you've already left one, state that you had, and I'll put your name in the proverbial bucket of names and draw for the Dark Eldar Codex. Speaking of Mark, your stuff is in the mail as of today. So, he won the Grey Knights box set. Things went bad, and with me physically, with my health, and I sent him out late. Also gave him a Castilian Crow inside his winnings. Hopefully, does well for him. He enjoys. But back to the Flyers. I mean, Dark Eldar have Flyers. Space Marines, you know, in general, they don't. But the Blood Angels do, and the Grey Knights do. I've been hearing crap where they're going to offer the Storm Raven up for any Imperial, I mean, any Space Marine chapter. And it makes sense. So, I play Fantasy as well. So, in Fantasy, you have the big creature creep. So, it looks like in 40K, we're going to have the flying creature. Or the flying, you know, unit creep. So I started thinking, I played Foot Slug and I played Mechanized, well, shit, screw it, I'm adapting to the game now, I got, you know, a lot of different ways I can play this army, I'm going to go ahead and make a flying 40k Imperial Guard Air Cav army. It's going to consist of six or more Valkyries or Vendettas, and you can blame this on 5th edition because they put up the squadron rules, not me. Veteran squads on the inside is troop choices. I mean, you've probably seen it all over. I'm not going to run any tanks with this army. I'm not going to run any tanks. I'm just going to do the flying Cav, because I really like model airplanes, and every time I put together one, I'm a geek, but just leave it to your imagination. So, anyone's got any ideas but what I can do to for this 40k Imperial Guard army that's going to be all Valkyries and Vendettas, hardened veterans. I don't know if I'm going to run Ogryns. I don't know if I can put my Ogryns in a... I don't know if I can put them inside of a Valkyrie. And I don't think any of my... my HQ units to benefit from the Deep Strike or the Reserve rules. I think they had to be on the table to start the game. So I don't know what I'm going to do there. And I'm partial to my Rattling Sniper. So anyone's got any ideas, send them to me. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to go ahead and... Okay, we're going to take a moment. Play a song from Ozzy Osbourne. Bombers Can Open Bomb Bays. I think it's rather fitting with my idea of wanting to do an all-flying 40k army. Working on commercial blocks, I have as well a new sponsor, Fiendish Fabrications. I'll have them posted on the site pretty soon, and doing some reviews and also some product giveaways for their scenic bases. They also run a game on its own. I don't know what they're going to send me, but the bases are pretty cool. And for you playing Malifaux out there or any type of, I don't know, for any type of games, I'll post it and you can check them out yourself. So Fiendish Fabrications. And don't forget our friend Mike at the Painting Apothecary, giving your models the TLC they deserve. And be back in a moment. I'll go over a roundabout with the 40k Imperial Guard armor. 40k Imperial Guard Army Codex. And then we'll end up the show, and I'll tell you what we got coming up next. Let's talk to you in a moment.
One thing I've learned, and
and we're going over some Imperial Guard. First foremost, I love the IG. I think they're fun. I think they're, no pun intended, the most human out of the 40k armies. You can get a lot of literature, good literature based on the 40k through the Black, for the Imperial Guard from the Black Library. And I think finally what upsets people most about this codex, outside of because you never heard anyone really complain about the Imperial Guard before, is that they finally made an army that's been on the back burner and a piece of... It's a big turd. It used to be a big turd that veteran players would have to play, and they made it something that you can, I don't know, make yourself an army that you can go about and handle stuff, and I don't like it. And a lot of this, I believe, and I hear it from my, I believe for myself, it comes from the power armor players. I mean, it's rough. I mean, you're sitting there, you got this ceramite plating armor, and you're thinking you're big, bad, unholy, you know, going out to the galaxy, purging planets, and here comes this Imperial Guard player blasting your ass off the table. You're gonna get kind of miffed. But anyway, let's go into the forces of the Imperial Guard. We got the whole orders. This is a new aspect that I've never had to deal with. I'll be honest with you, when I do play my Imperial Guard still, I don't use orders. I know that sounds weird, but yeah, it is what it is. You got your company command squad, your regimental advisors. They've taken, you got your commissars, your primary psychers, which are pretty cool. Your techs, priests, engineers, I never really ran them. Your priests. They've taken a lot of options that you used to be able to have in your Imperial Guard army. And before, you used to have special weapon squads with your IG. You used to have, I mean, you could tailor out a whole bunch of stuff, I thought, in the HQ section a little bit more. But they brought it down to more human levels, I guess. But that's that. You got your platoon command squad, your infantry squad, which, you know, everyone who plays IG knows that they have to have one platoon squad, two infantry squads to make one troop choice. But the next, and then you got your heavy weapon squad. You know, you got the best transport in the game. We got the Chimera. Amphibious front armor 12 tank that, you know, I think it's awesome. Then we have what breaks it. A lot of people say veterans. Veterans used to be elite choice, but now they are in fact a troops choice in an IG army. We're looking at ballistic skill 4 Imperial Guard. Now they also have snare mines, all that crap, but you can pick stuff for your veterans if you really wanted to. And you can have, you know, you can go out and you can put, whatchamacallit, you can make them specialize by making them grenadiers, give them flak armor for 30 points, forward sentries, you know, you can give them camel cloaks and steramines, demolitions, the whole entire squad has melt bombs, one carries a demolition charge. A lot of people say, well, this is cheese, and, you know, you can put 3 melted guns, and, you know, you can... Excuse me. You can put 3 melted guns in there, and you know, and it's gonna happen. I'm gonna do it. That's, if you don't like it, you can piss off. Everyone else has melted spam is a universal 40k spamming theme. It just doesn't stop with one army, and it doesn't start with another. So, but what I do like about the veteran squads, rather than the regular troop choice, with the doctrines that you could pick. You could pick grenadiers. It's basically, you know, you give your guys flak armor. You replace their flak armor with carapace armor. Finally gives you something that might be able, that will be able to stop a bolter shell from a space marine. It gives you a reasonable armor save that you can basically withstand a lot of rapid fire weapons. And if you went through the whole thing and you thought the Vestorians were going to be the next thing, best next thing since, you know, sliced bread, you could play... You can use that Grenadier's rules for your Vestorians. I'm going to do it because they didn't support that army into a whole new Codex theme. You got your forward sentries, the squad-ass camel cloaks. Well, and snare mines. If you went and bought all those Tanith, God's Ghost models, there you go. Wrap them up in your troop section, have them Tanith. Demolitions, entire squad of melt bombs. I don't know what you're going to do about that outside of Ketchikan, because they usually carry the satchel charges. A lot of, let's see, for the rest of the troops, they have a Penal Legion squad, Whippy. I don't really bother with it. But they do have a whole bunch of upgradable characters that are named characters to go into everything. So that's a little bit new into there, and I'm not going to go into it except for maybe Guardsman Marlboro. It's pretty sweet for 65 points, but he has to stand and weather the storm until someone shoots you off the freaking planet. Let's see. And your troops, you got the infantry platoon, you got your heavy veteran squad, your special weapon squad, conscript, infantry squad, blah, blah, blah. Veteran squad is the shit. Penal Legion. Fast stack, you got your... This is pretty cool. You got your sentinels now. Scout Central Squadron, 35 points apiece, come with a multi-laser. Scouts move through covers. Some options, you can even put las cannons on them, 50 points apiece. They can scout move through cover. I want to incorporate those in my army. I don't know if it's going to work with my all-cav, air-cav, because, you know, they're on the ground. But then you have the Armored Sentinel Squadron. These are the ones that came out with the Armageddon. And they kind of look like the, you know, the Scout Walkers of Star Wars. You got your Rough Rider Squad. And then we got the Fast Attack. We got the Hellhound Squadron. Well, the Olive Fast Attack, sorry. Hellhound Squadron, you got three different variants of the Hellhound you can take. You got your Valkyrie Assault Carrier Squadron. 1 to 3 in a squadron, vehicle fast skimmer, transport capacity, 12 models, brilliant. Multi-laser, 2 Hellstrike missiles, searchlight, extra armor. It can deep strike, scout, and hands grab, shoot, insertion. All I'm talking about is finally freaking stormtroopers. I mean, let's look at something really quick here. So like I was saying, there's finally a good reason to play Stormtroopers. They've always been Ballistic Skill 4. They got themselves Carpus Armor, Hotshot Las Gun, finally can pop freaking Power Armor, still Strength 3, Close Combat Weapons, Deep Strike, and Special Operations. Now one thing I do like, and you know, for Stormtrooper Sergeant, blah blah blah, 2 Stormtroopers can have Meltas if you want, and then you'll notice I'm going to say Meltas because everyone's running Melta. Funny thing is about it, in 3rd and 4th edition 40k, when I was running my Imperial Guard, I didn't never use the Melta. I never used the Flamer. Each squad, when I could have it, would have a plasma gun and a missile launcher, because it seemed most viable. But development of the game has called forth for Melta spam. And the reason it has is because they put the armor into squadrons. This is what's changed 40k the most, is the having squadrons of vehicles, 3 squadrons, rather than just one taking up each heavy or one taking up fast attack. Unfortunately, you know, and these people sit there and they want to sit there, oh, I guard sucks. Well, you know what? They are rough, but they were the underdogs for such a long time. I mean, you got your Vendetta gunships, you know, a little bit more. You've got the 2 Hellfury missiles, shit like that, but they got some las cannons. But this is what makes iGuard really hard to handle. Everything here, you know, you can have, you know, your heavy support. 1 Manticore for competition, 1 tank. You got a plethora of Lehman Russ battle tanks. You got the Hydra Flank tank battery, ordnance batteries, Manticore batteries, Death Strike missile launchers. You got shit that can handle stuff, finally. And people do not like the fact that they have an army that they, in their mind, think is cool and think is badass. And they should. Because you should be playing this thing to have fun. You shouldn't go out and buy an army to win. I mean, you want to win, but not just specifically so it can win. You want to have an army to have it go out and have fun. And when your army doesn't have some of the cool toys that someone else does, because they say that, you know, Games Workshop has the power creep, they may. But inevitably, every army will have that creep. So what's powerful now may not be powerful like 5 codexes away. Or it might be. Who the hell knows? But what it is I think it's jealousy. You know, it's just like, because, excuse me, out of all the codexes, I believe Imperial Guard have an answer for almost everything in the game outside of Assault. because they suck at assault. They're not that good at it. They can throw some ogres to hold up something with their high toughness and stuff like that, but inevitably they're going to lose assault. And with the whole stealing initiative and your better chances of going first, you know, it sucks. You get an IG player who goes first. I mean, that's where that term leaf blower comes along, because you can blow all the leaves off the table, and the table, the models being the leaves, or your model specifically. But, I mean, there is different ways around everything. Sure, it sucks to some extent. I mean, I'm looking at playing the freaking Grey Knights. A lot of people say, well, this guy's a freaking idiot. He's saying he, you know, he's got to deal with it. You're not running with a lot of models. I'm used to playing with 90, you know, the 200 models on the table for my 40k army. And now I'm gonna, but anyway. But, you got any ideas for my Imperial Guard army, other than throw it away and stop playing cheese? Because I've played them for so long, I'm not getting rid of them. They're painted. They're brilliant. They're all metal. I mean, you want to buy them, you can throw me an offer. But I'm not getting rid of them. You want to give me a helpful suggestion for 40k for my Imperial Guard? I'll play it. I'll check it out. And we'll go from there. You got any questions or comments? Send them to me. SeanHammer@9@yahoo.com. I will answer. I will respond. I will enjoy the, you know, the mail I get. I love it. We are going to have Graham McNeil on pretty soon. Just contacted him tonight. Contact him back. He said next week after he's done writing his newest book, so I imagine we're going to go over that. Next episode, we'll be talking a lot of Malifaux, and I'll be going into probably the Neverborn, but not so much as a general aspect as I will be focusing on Lilith and her brood, because that's what I'm going to play, and that's what I'm going to spend all my effort on. Instead of doing general lines, I'm going to spend it one crew at a time. So you guys out there and saying, oh, I wish you'd spend more time, I might go back. You know, you got any Malifaux questions or comments you want to give me, send them to me. Please, leave me iTunes reviews. I love them. I wish that more. I'm going to Games Day. I'm going to meet up with some Black Library authors, so I have some prize giveaways. Also, I'm going to put together a piece of scenery at the scenery put-together table and the character put-together table, and those are going to be prizes coming up, and I'll have some Games Day coverage. And for that, basically, right now, we're going to call it quits. Hopefully, my rambling, I just got sick of hearing, oh, the I-Guard, and hearing different podcasts talk about, oh, you got two Valkyries, you're a pussy, or whatever, you know. It's like, fuck, forget you. All I got to say is you play Imperial Guard, be proud of what you have. You picked it because you wanted to play it. There's not an easy task painting all those models that are not in one color power armor. You know, I mean, it's a daunting task. You've picked it because you liked it, and it said something to you. So stand up, be proud, give a big old salute, and say a big old F you from the IG, and we'll talk to you next time. Remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.